You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel, who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. It's a nice sunny day out there today. I have a good message for you. I think you're going to like this. The title of this message is Like Devil, Like Jews. Now, don't misconstrue this. I don't want you to like the devil, and I don't see how you could like the Jews. What it means is, like father, like sons. So, I'm going to prove to you that not only is the devil a despicable individual, but that his offspring is also just as despicable. They do the same things. I'm going to prove this with Scripture. So there'll be no question in your mind after this message who the devil is and who his children are. You see, the devil is a liar. He's a murderer. He constantly questions Yahweh and what Yahweh wants. He's a tempter. He was meant to be a tempter on this earth, but he crossed over to being a deceiver as well. He's an hypocrite. And he's also a hater of all that's good. Let's prove that now scripturally, and then we'll take a look at his offspring, because the devil does have literal offspring. Okay, this is one we're all very familiar with from Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath Yahweh said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He's questioning now. And he's getting somebody else to question. One thing for you to be a questioner of yourself or to be a deceiver or a tempter, but to do things to other people and get them to question Yahweh and get them to tempt them, now you're really entering into the heavier field of sin. And of course he went to the woman because he knows she's the weaker sex. He's a coward, just like his children are cowards. And you'll notice that they always prey on the weak. If they saw the strong of the herd there, the herd, so to speak, using their words, they wouldn't have the guts. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So she knows what Yahweh said. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. He's a liar. A bold-faced liar. If Yahweh says ye shall die, you can be assured that ye shall die. So he continues on and he says, For Yahweh doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now here he is as the tempter, the deceiver. He also hates this woman because she's good. She's the offspring of Yahweh. Adam is the son of God, in case you don't know that. And that's in Luke chapter 3, if you don't believe me, in the genealogy. Yahweh literally breathed his breath into Adam. So he is the son of God, the son of Yahweh, as we are all the sons of Yahweh that are of the Adamic race. So we proved it right there. He's a liar. He hates the good. Always questioning what Yahweh's doing and saying. Okay, now we'll move into the New Testament. Now here's Yahweh himself. Then Yeshua was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. See, tempted of the devil, to be tempted. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. He was very hungry, as anybody would be. I don't think I'd make it 10 days, never mind 40 days. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." He's tempting him here. Plus, he's also questioning that if he is the Son of God. See, being the Son of God, he is the Son of Man as well, which means he's the Son of Adam. He's now an Adamite. And so basically what it means is he is a literal one of the sons of God at this point. I know you want to make a trinity out of it and all this stuff, but that's not the way it is. So him being the Son of God, he is Son of Man as well, which is Adam, which is one of the sons of God. But he answered and said, "It is written," he answered the devil with scripture, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh," or God. Okay, so the devil doesn't give up. And we'll find out we know that that his offspring doesn't give up either. So it says, "Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God," where he's still doubting this, "cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus answered unto him, Yeshua, Yahweh in the flesh, "It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt Yahweh." Now he just told him it's written not to tempt Yahweh, yet he's tempting Yahweh. See, they have no respect. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. This is his third try. And sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then said Yeshua unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy..." excuse me. "Thou shalt worship Yahweh thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now he resisted the devil, and you can see here what happens when you resist the devil, when you submit yourself to God and then resist the devil, he flees from you. So the devil leaveth him. Behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So that's our scripture, James 4:7. Remember, the key of it is, submit yourselves, therefore, to God or Yahweh. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's not just resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Very important thing to know, correct? Make sure you don't leave out the first part. Now we'll move on to the book of Jasher. Absolutely excellent book. Fills in a lot of holes of the stories that you see in Genesis and other places. This is verse 25. And whilst Abraham was proceeding with his son Isaac along the road, Satan came and appeared to Abraham in the figure of a very aged man. Humble. Is Satan humble? No. And of a contrite spirit. No, actually, he's quite haughty and quite the opposite of this. And he approached Abraham. Now listen, he came and appeared to Abraham in the figure of a very aged man, humble and of a contrite spirit. And he approached Abraham and said unto him. So first, before I tell you what he said to him, notice that he appeared to him with somebody that he might respect, a man of his own stature, maybe, or a peer, so he could put peer pressure on him. This is something that's used all the time in the schoolyard, in the workplace, etc. Just want you to see that these, who thinks of these things? So, what did he say to him? He said, art thou silly or brutish that thou goest to do this thing this day to thine only son? He's questioning Yahweh again, what Yahweh told Abraham to do. But he's also going to somebody else and trying to cause him to question what Yahweh told him to do. Notice the level of sin there. It's one thing to question Yahweh yourself, but now to cause other people to have a stumbling block or have them to fall, now you're entering into heavy-duty territory. So it continues on. For God gave thee a son in thy latter days, in thy old age, and wilt thou go and slaughter him? This day because he committed no violence, and wilt thou cause the soul of thine only son to perish from the earth? Always questioning. Questioning. Dost thou know and understand that this thing cannot be from Yahweh? For Yahweh cannot do unto man such evil upon the earth and say to him, go slaughter thy child. Oh, he can't, can he? It's nice for the devil to try to tell you, I mean, he has been in and seen Yahweh, of course. But he has no right to speak for Yahweh. See, Abraham knew. Right, you know, he knew this when he heard this. This isn't like he came to a woman this time. Notice the difference. Abraham's not going by his feelings. It said, and Abraham heard this and knew that it was the word of Satan who endeavored to draw him aside from the way of Yahweh. But Abraham would not hearken to the voice of Satan, and Abraham rebuked him, so that he went away. Okay, here's a man who knows who he is. He knows who Yahweh is, and he knows who the devil is. He knows his enemy's voice. He heard that voice, and he knew somebody's trying to turn me away from what Yahweh wanted me to do. I know that can't be good, and I know who that has to be. So he didn't go by any feelings. He rebuked him and told him, get lost. So Satan, you know, He's not going to give up. So he'll try I'm surprised he didn't try this first, because Isaac would be the weaker of the two. And Satan returned and came to Isaac. Now listen to this. And he appeared unto Isaac in the figure of a young man, comely and well-favored. Well-favored, do you understand? He's somebody that a lot of people listen to, a lot of people respect. You know, and he's going to tell you he's good looking, young, on the top of the world, well favored. And he approached Isaac and said unto him, "Dost thou not know and understand that thy old silly father," see, silly meaning like he's almost crazy now, you know, he's attacking his mental abilities, let's say. "Dost thou not know and understand that thy old silly father bringeth thee to the slaughter this day for naught?" This is all for nothing. "Now therefore, my son," his son, "do not listen nor attend to him, for he is a silly old man." Isn't that what they tell us about old people today? They're worthless, don't know anything. Yet everybody in many generations past treasured the old for their knowledge and their wisdom. "And let not thy precious soul and beautiful figure be lost from the earth," said the devil to Isaac. "Thy beautiful figure be lost from the earth." Oh, what a tragedy this would be. And Isaac heard this and said unto Abraham, "Hast thou heard, my father, that which this man hath spoken? Even thus has he spoken." And Abraham answered his son Isaac and said unto him, "Take heed of him, and do not listen to his words, nor attend to him, for he is Satan, endeavoring to draw us aside this day from the commands of Yahweh." He's trying to draw them away, like the seed that was cast to the side of the road. He's trying to draw it away. Like the lost sheep that was lost in the meadows. He's trying to draw it away, get it alone by itself, like he did to Eve in the garden. Isolate it so that he could work on it. And Abraham still rebuked Satan, and Satan went from them. And seeing he could not prevail over them, he hid himself from them. And he went and passed before them in the road. And he transformed himself into a large brook of water in the road. And Abraham and Isaac and his two young men reached that place. And they saw a brook large and powerful as the mighty waters. Now, so far, Satan has transformed himself into an old man. He's transformed himself into a youngly, comely young man. And now he's transformed himself into a large brook of water in the road. Keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Keep that in mind. I don't mean keep the power of Satan in mind. But what I mean is what his attributes are, or what his attributes could be, or what his capabilities could be. Not for fear's sake, but for wisdom's sake. Like Abraham knew that that was Satan. Now watch what happens here. "And they entered the brook and passed through it, and the waters at first reached their legs. And they went deeper into the brook, and the waters reached up to their necks, and they were all terrified on account of the water. And whilst they were going over the brook, Abraham recognized that place, and he knew that there was no water there before. And Abraham said to his son Isaac, I know this place in which there was no brook, no water. Now, therefore, it is Satan who does all this to us, to draw us aside this day from the commands of God. See how slick Abraham is. Imagine if we all were this slick that we would know that the enemy was there. He couldn't get away with anything with Abraham here. He wasn't getting away with anything. And Abraham rebuked him again and said unto him, Yahweh rebuke thee, O Satan, be gone from us, for we go by the commands of Yahweh. Remember that statement. You may wish to use that against the same filth that he used it against. Yahweh rebuke thee, O Satan, be gone from us, for we go by the commands of God, or Yahweh. And Satan was terrified at the voice of Abraham. So you remember that statement. Write it down. Put it in thy soul. You will have use for it one day, perhaps. And Satan was terrified at the voice of Abraham, and he went away from them. And the place again became dry land as it was at first. And Abraham went with Isaac toward the place that God had told him. That's as far as I'm going to go on that at this point. But now we're going to see a contrast here. We're going to see why the woman is the weaker sex, but this is still the devil in operation. And we're still proving what he is and who he is. Verse 76, and Satan went to Sarah, and he appeared to her in the figure of an old man, very humble and meek. And Abraham was yet engaged in the burnt offering before Yahweh. Now Satan's speaking now. And he said unto her, dost thou not know all the work that Abraham has made with thine only son this day? For he took Isaac and built an altar and killed him. And he brought him up as a sacrifice on the altar. And Isaac cried and wept before his father. He looked not at him, neither did he have compassion over him. Now, let me tell you something right now. When you read this story, you'll find out that that's an absolute lie. Not only was Isaac very willing and even stretched his neck out to be the sacrifice, he was happy to do this because Yahweh required it. But Abraham, they were weeping together. There was a lot of weeping going on. And Abraham, you know, he was very, very compassionate. Isaac even told him to tie the binds tight so that nothing would happen. So it says, and Satan repeated these words so she would remember it, and he went away from her. Now, he's working on her feelings. You understand that right now, right? You know what she's thinking. She absolutely would die for Isaac any day of the week, 10 times over. This woman was incredible. And Satan repeated these words, and he went away from her. And Sarah heard all the words of Satan, and she imagined him to be an old man from amongst the sons of men, who had been with her son and had come and told her these things. She believed the lie. She took heed. She listened to the devil's voice rather than what Abraham told Isaac to do, was not take heed of him and do not listen to what he said. She listened. Now it's working on her feelings, because that's where woman is weakest. Now, don't be mad. But that's what it is. That's why he did it. Now, let's see what happens because of her feelings. Later on, it said, and Sarah lifted up her voice and wept and cried out bitterly on account of her son. And she threw herself upon the ground, and she cast dust. Now, this is all over a lie. And she threw herself. I mean, she's taking a mental fit here. Jumping around, hopping around. Oh, my God, crying, throwing dust on her. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Now, this is what would happen if he really did die, I'm sure. But you see, she believed the lie, and he worked on her feelings. And she said, oh, my son Isaac, my son, oh, that I had this day died instead of thee. And she continued to weep and said, it grieves me for thee. Oh, my son Isaac, oh, that I had died this day in thy stead. And here comes the filth again now. And behold, Satan came to Sarah in the shape of an old man. And he came and stood before her, and he said unto her, I spoke falsely unto thee. For Abraham, now he's going to tell the truth. He's like some of the new Jew truth movement we got going on now. Now all of a sudden they're going to tell the truth. But there's a purpose for them telling the truth in the truth now. And they're not really telling all the truth. They're just sort of showing themselves to be redeemable, as I have told you before. So he said, I spoke falsely unto thee, for Abraham did not kill his son, and he is not dead. Now listen to this. And when she heard the word, her joy, now her feelings, again, I'm not saying feelings, but you got to understand what I'm saying. These feelings are out of control. And look what happens when they're out of control. And when she heard the word, her joy was so exceedingly violent on account of her son that her soul went out through joy. She died and was gathered to her people. This is on account of lies. Now he's a murderer as well. Just want you to see that. Not as if you didn't know the devil was a murderer and a liar and all the things I've told you already. Just want to just keep making that note. He's a murderer. He's a liar. Always questioning God. Okay. From that time, now we're in the New Testament. From that time forth, Yeshua began to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, the Jews, the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Yahweh, this shall not be unto thee. Now, just like Abraham, and of course Yahweh would know, but I'm just saying, just like Abraham, he turned and he said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest the things that be, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And may I remind you that he told the Jews, not the Israelites now, we're not talking Israelites, we're talking the Jews. He told them that they make the commandments of God nothing and rather listen to the commandments of men, which is exactly what he's saying that the devil's doing here. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now let's remember Cain, the devil's first offspring. And let's remember, this is just briefly, I'm going to hit you with this one. Not only did I find out he was stealing the sheep from Abel and eating them and making clothes, and he didn't pay Abel anything for it, but he murdered Abel. So he's a murderer. And he lied right to the face of Yahweh himself. You remember, Yahweh came to him and he said, where is thy brother? And he said, what am I, my brother's keeper? And he lied to the face of Yahweh. Yahweh knew what happened because the blood was crying out from the ground. So remember that now, his first offspring. This is the first hint of the offspring. And now just remember all the things I just told you about the literal devil, the father, like devil, like Jews. Okay, so as you know in John, he says to the, not the Israelites now, he says to the Jews, ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God, Yahweh. Now they just lied to the face of Yahweh again. Because they are born of fornication, they're a race-mixed race. They are born of fornication. Yes, they are. They're a mongrel race. They're not white. They're not Israelites. They're Jews. Turco-Mongolian. So they just lied. These are the children now, I'm reminding you now. This isn't the devil. This is his children that just lied to the face of Yahweh. Yahweh in the flesh. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he that sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see, I just wanted to read that again. You've heard that many times. You see, the devil, they're going to do what he's telling you. Now, I'm going to be proving to you that what Yahweh says is true. Yahweh in the flesh. So he says the devil's a liar. So if you didn't believe me when I told you, he said he was a liar. And he said his lust they will do. And he said he's a murderer and abode not in the truth, for there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He's the father of a lie. He's the father of the lie. Okay, so let's move on. Now we see the children, the literal children. Now these are not Israelites, my friends. These are not Israelites. These are Jews. Do not confuse the two. Okay, we're going to move on to another place now. I believe much of this is in the book of Matthew. I told you I got two messages from this book just by listening to it. Yahweh was a blessing. Yeshua went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? This they said, tempting him. That they might have to accuse him. Who was the accuser of the brethren? The devil. Listen, this is telling you everything right here about these people, about these Jews. This is telling you that is awesome. These aren't Israelites. I'm going to keep reminding you. Moses was not a Jew. I'm going to read this again, verse 6. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his fingers wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. He was thinking. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Yeshua was left alone. You know, he had said to her, he lifted himself up and said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And they all heard that and they left. They had a conscience. Now, I can't imagine the Jews having any conscience, but they left anyway. When Yeshua had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman, and he said unto her, woman, Where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Yeshua. And no man, see, she didn't say God. She said, no man, Yeshua. And Yeshua said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, further on, verse 16, this is a, you know, we're just moving right along. Here's the Jews again. The Pharisees also came with the Sadducees. Listen. And tempting, desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. Now, remember, I used this last week, but now look at the other. We're looking at a whole nother aspect now. See, these are you notice how there's no Israelites. I want you to notice as you read these things, it doesn't say that the Israelites came up and started tempting him and questioning Yahweh and all this kind of stuff. They were all people that kind of believed and stuff like that. Even the dogs believed and didn't try to tempt him. Even the woman who was the dog at the well there. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. They didn't believe, as I told you last week. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites! Ha ha ha! He just confirmed that the children, not only is the father, the devil, a hypocrite, but the children are hypocrites. These are his literal offspring. He's not talking to the Israelites. He's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Why are they the Jews? Why do you want? Because I told you that was the government of Israel in those days. They always get themselves in the government. You notice how in our government in America, they've seated themselves in all this, in all the government now? Well, they did it then, they're still doing it today. It's the same crapola. So they're hypocrites. A wicked and adulterous generation, adulterous, seeketh adulterous. Race mixes. They seeketh after a sign. And there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. I remember last week I said, yeah, he didn't waste. This was the second time they pulled this nonsense on him. And he just said, that's it. I'm not going to waste any more time with you. See ya. Okay. Moving along. This is another account. At the time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were an hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Here's the Jews. They were always very concerned about everything that's going on. You know? They were always getting into somebody. You notice how there weren't a bunch of Israelites that came over and said, hey, what are you doing plucking that corn? Even the guy that owned the field didn't come out and say, what is he doing there eating my corn? But the Pharisee saw it, and he's going to get involved. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. They're just so interested in the law, those Pharisees. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered? And they that were with him, how he entered into the house of Yahweh and did eat the shew bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Think about that for a minute. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. The son of man, condemning, always, you know, always just like their father. They should not fall far from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Dig on that for a while. For the Son of Man is God, even of the Sabbath day. See, he even called himself the Son of Man. Didn't that show you what I told you before was true? And when he departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful? They're following around. You see, that's what these Jews do. They keep following us Israelites around everywhere we go. We don't want anything to do with. We're not interested what you believe or what you think or any of that stuff. Get away from me. Get out of my face. Get out of my country. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him, like their father does? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it is fallen to a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? So it is. It's lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him. They held a council that how they might destroy. Who's a destroyer? These weren't Israelites that had the council against them. These weren't Israelites that said, let's destroy him. These are Jews. And they're doing what their father does. Just like Yahweh in the flesh told you that they would do the deeds of their father. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. And the great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Next episode. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Now that's terrible, isn't it? He's really doing some bad things on the Sabbath days and everything else. I mean, healing people, that's not good, you know? According to the Jew, that is. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Here they are again. They're right with us Israelites again. See, the people were amazed. They weren't trying to accuse him. They weren't trying to destroy him. They weren't trying to tempt him. They weren't trying to question him. As a matter of fact, they asked each other, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, when the Jew heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. See, they hate good. You understand that? Instead of rejoicing, seeing a man that was just delivered from a horrible condition, they were angry. The people weren't angry. The Israelites weren't angry. They were amazed. They said, wow, this is incredible. They were probably rejoicing. But the Jew wasn't rejoicing at the good deed. How is he doing these things? Oh, he did it by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. You ought to know, Jew. You ought to know. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Now see, what he taught them there, they remembered that all the way till today. And now that's why they give us democracy. See, the left fights the right in whatever government, democracy of the world. See, the left fights the right. The right fights the left. The right fights the left. The left fights the right. Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation. And that's just where the Jew wants to bring our kingdoms to. All the kingdoms of Europe, America, through democracy. Because they remember what he said there. See, that was full of wisdom. They took notes of this. They didn't remember any of the good stuff he said. They just remembered what they could use for evil. Because they're filth. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. That's why America is being brought to desolation. Because the Jew is in control of your government. The Pharisaic, Sadducee Jews of today, and also the merchants, which are the Jews today, are bringing our kingdom of America to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand, you see? So with democracy, it's put right in it. We don't want it to stand. That's why we want you to have democracy. Now, I believe it was James Madison. I'm not quite sure. I should have looked it up, but I didn't think of it until just now. That said, democracy is the vilest form of government. Now, the founding fathers knew this. I just want you to know that. They knew the Jew. They saw what the Jew had done to their countries many times. They knew history. You see, so this is the key here, verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Therefore, that's why... See, if you have a king, your king can't be against himself. But if you get two or three parties, you pit them against each other in the Hegelian dialectic. As I've already told you, you'll see as you just go back over all my messages and they go right in sequence the way Yahweh wanted them to go. I find that amazing. I don't know if you see it, but I see it. And it all makes sense. So he goes on, and he says, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Jesus, Yahweh knows what's going on. I love Yahweh. How can you not love Yahweh? How can you not love Yahweh's kingdom? It's absolutely superior to any kingdom of the world that's ever been or that ever could be. His kingdom is superior. His rule of law blows this away, what we're living in. And you love this thing. You love these lies, Judeo-Christian. You love this world rather than having Yahweh's world. Rather than be living in Yahweh's kingdom, you love every scam that this Jew can think up day after day, and you want to live in and abide by it. There's something seriously wrong in your brain. And if you can't see that, that should prove to you that something's wrong with you. That somebody has put a spell on you, and I'm telling you who did it. And I've been telling you who did it. And I'll keep telling you who did it. Now, you know, I told you that George Bush Junior, and they're Jews, in case you don't know that. They're crypto Jews. George Bush is a Jew. Daddy Bush, who put in the Noahide laws, which you better get a hold of and read and figure out what that means. Don't be fooled by the name Noah. They're Jews. Now listen to this statement. Have you heard this statement somewhere before? I want you to stop. I want you to think. This is Yeshua, Yahweh in the flesh speaking. Where have you heard this before? He that is not with me is against me. You remember George Bush Jr., or, you know, the cocaine homosexual? You know who I'm talking about. Those are his words. And you hear these all the time from these governmental Jews. He that is not with us is against us. What are you copying? You're copying Yahweh here. He that is not with me is against me, says Yeshua. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, there's a deep, deep thing to think about. You see, this is just very simple right there. If you're not gathering for his storehouse, then you're scattering abroad. If you're not trying to gather the tribes together, and you're trying to cause division with the brothers, then you are scattering abroad, which means you are against Yahweh. So if you find yourself out there and you're trying to cause trouble within CI or anything else, then you are no better than the Jew. And you are a Jew. And you're scattering the sheep. You're not collecting the sheep. In other words, you're trying to scatter the sheep so that they can be isolated and destroyed. This is how animals do it. In case you don't know that, watch some nice nature shows sometime. They always go after the weakest one, and they'll isolate it and take it down. The Negroes do this all the time. You know, like, you know, 10 of them will rape an 86-year-old nun. You understand my point? These are cowards. And they're starting to act more like the offspring of the devil every day. Every day I see what's going on in Negrodom. Is getting more and more, they're proving that they're following the Jews and the devil, and they're going to receive the judgment that that they will get. And I warned them already. So do what you have to do. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And whoso speaketh a word against the Son of Man, see, he called himself the Son of Man again, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Better take heed of that, folks. Better keep your pie hole in check. And I could take a bit of that advice myself. I would never speak against the Spirit because I love Yahweh. Whatever manifestation of Him it is, I love Him. You know why? Because his ways are the right ways. It's obvious. It couldn't be more obvious. His ways are the right ways. And the devil's ways are always the wrong way. Always have been, always will be. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. See, the Jews, the offspring of the devil, are known by their fruits. You see, they're tempting, they're questioning Yahweh. They want to kill. They already have killed the prophets all through the time. They're guilty from the blood all the way from Abel all the way to Zacharias, whom they slayed between the temple. And now they're guilty for Germany, Russia, all the abortions. I mean, and it just goes on and on and on. You can't even begin. It just goes on and on and on and on. The sins of this devil's offspring are too numerous to even take account of. So he says to them, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. See, you remember I told you about all the things the Jews say? Put on your Jew radar and listen to the garbage that comes out of the mouths of the Jews worldwide. None of it's good. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? They can't. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For, listen to this, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's fair. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. See, after what he just said all there, they're not interested in what he said. They don't care. They just want to see a sign. The Jew. What a real world treasure they are to us, aren't they? Haven't they been a blessing to all nations, the people that they call themselves the chosen of God? They're not a blessing to any nation. They're a curse to all nations, always have been, always will be. And if you think they've been a blessing to all nations, you are mentally ill. Like they are. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given it to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Okay, Jonah. Okay. Another account here. And it came to pass, and when Jesus had finished these sayings, Yeshua finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came to the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And the multitude, great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. See, they followed him. They weren't questioning him. They weren't trying to murder him. They weren't tempting him. They weren't accusing him. But here they are again, the offspring of Hillel. Here they are again. He went away from them, and they're following him around like they do all of us. We don't want them in our country. They just keep coming into the country. We don't want them to change our laws. But they're interested in getting themselves in those positions so they can change all of our laws. That's just downright rude, you see. If you come into somebody's country, that's not your business what how their country runs. You're just somebody that's was allowed to be there, and they shouldn't be allowed to be here. But regardless, that's just downright rude. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now they're tempting him. They're asking these questions. They're questioning him again too, right? They're trying to trap him. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore Yahweh hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. See, the Jews were following Moses around too. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, race mixing, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. See, when they saw the wonderful things that he did, they didn't like good things. They don't like good things. There's your proof, folks. These are not Israelites. These are the chief priests and scribes, the Jews. When he did the wonderful things and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, the Jews were sore displeased. They were jealous too, you see. And he said unto them, hearest thou what they say? And Yeshua said unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. See, there's your precursor to the lawyer right there. See, and who is the lawyer but the Jew?
Oh, that's not true. I know an Anglo-Saxon man who was a lawyer. Not all Jews are lawyers.
No, only about 95% of them. So here it is. They're showing that they're just like their father. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him. They're in a huddle, you see. They want to entangle him. They want to trap him. They're tempting him. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true. See, they're mocking. And teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? So they were trying to get Caesar to kill him, you see. These filthy, filthy, filthy murderers. You see, they haven't changed. This is the same garbage that goes on today. Can't you see this? Can't you understand the difference between an Israelite and a Jew? Hello, people. Hello. Are you awake? But Yeshua perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? See, they're tempting him again, and they're hypocrites again, like their father. Who's tempting him? Who's tempting him? Not the Israelites. The Jews. Who killed them? The Jews. Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the thing which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's, or Yahweh's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. You see, they couldn't trap him. Even though they claim that, you do know the rabbis claim that God needs them to counsel him, that he, their opinions are very important to him and everything, and he goes to them for counsel. Can you imagine him sitting there watching them bobbing back and forth like mental patients, and he's going to listen to a word that's coming out of their mouth, huh? Not any more than he's listening to them here. You just don't understand what the depth of these people are, the lies and the filth. You better wake up to the Jew. Wake up. So submit unto Yahweh. Resist the devil's children, and they will flee from you. I put that in myself, just in the same way. As long as you submit to Yahweh, resist the devil's children, and they will flee from you. You see, they won't even have a conversation with you if you know what the truth is about them, because they can't win. They're cowards. One thing you have to know about the Jew is they're the biggest cowards in the world. Until they become a concentration camp running until they're on top, you see, where you know they're over you somehow. Then they're all of a sudden the biggest tyrant in the world. See, they go from that, and then if you get back over them again, they start crying, the Holocaust, the Holocaust. Oh, yeah. Don't fall for any of that nonsense. That's just working on your feelings again. Remember what I said, women. Working on your feelings. So, here we go again. The same day came to him Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry a wife, and raise up the seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and at first, when he married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, he left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, the third, unto the seventh. And the last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall be of the seven? For they all had her. Yeshua answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahweh. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read which was spoken to you unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Think on that for a while. He's telling you Abraham's alive. Isaac's alive. Jacob's alive. Yet they're not alive right now in that day with him. I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Now, listen again. Here we are again. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together.
Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? They're trying to trap him again. They're tempting him again. They're questioning him again. They're hypocrites. Yeshua said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt love Yahweh thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So think about that for a moment. You see, if you love your neighbor like yourself, then you won't steal off your neighbor because you wouldn't want him to steal off you. You wouldn't lie to your neighbor because you wouldn't want him to lie to you. You'd do good to your neighbor because you'd want him to do good to you. You wouldn't lust after your neighbor's wife or touch her because you wouldn't want him to do that to you. Therefore, the whole law is summed up in that fashion. Do unto others as you would have them to do to you. It's very simple. And love Yahweh thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. If you can do those two things, you'll be on your way to blessing. If everybody did those two things, we wouldn't have the problems we have right now. Listen up, Israel, the true Israelites. Listen up, tribes. Hear what I just said and begin to align yourself, your mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit with Yahweh. If you wish to be blessed and you wish to have victory over your enemies and you wish to have your countries back and straightened out the way they should be, it starts with you. Don't look for somebody else for it to start with them first. You start it. Get rid of your cable. Turn your television into an education station. Begin to study Yahweh's word and get it within your soul. Get it within your spirit. Let the kingdom of God live within you. So after this, after he said those two things, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Yeshua asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. He said unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Yahweh, saying, Yahweh said unto Yeshua, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Yeshua, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. This just goes on and on. I'm going to continue here. Here's another account. Then spake Yeshua to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not.
for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. See, like, what he means is, they've got us all paying taxes, but the Jews don't pay any taxes. You understand? They've tried to bind us all up with all these laws and everything, which are null and void anyway, but they don't follow these laws. You think about what I'm telling you right now. See, he knew about them. And just like he doesn't change, pardon me, they don't change. So he says, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi, which means master, master. But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. So, but he that is the greatest among you, you shall be called, he that is greatest among you shall be called your servant. And whosoever exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, woe unto you, Jews, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, Jews, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whoso shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is the debtor. Hello, you know who does that? Who loves the gold? Who has all the gold? Not the Israelites. The Jews. People, can you see? Can you see? Can you see? Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold of the temple? Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctify the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whoso shall swear by the gift that is on the is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for what is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whosoever shall swear by the altar sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, Jews, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Now who's extorting from the Israelites today and full of excess? Not the Israelites, right? The Jews. They're extorting from all of our governments. And who's full of excess? Who's all the billionaires and millionaires and etc.? The Jews. Thou blind Pharisee, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, Jews, hypocrites, because ye build tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Think about it, people. Think about it. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell, Jews? You can't. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them ye shall kill and crucify. Some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. See, they're following them around everywhere they go. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, truly I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation, and it'll come upon the generation I'm speaking to today too. You shall not escape the damnation of hell, Esau, Edom. Then assembled together the chief priests and scribes and elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Yeshua with subtlety and kill him. Kill, kill, kill the devil, kill subtlety. Who was the most subtle in the garden? See, this is the father, this is the offspring. They do the same exact things. I'm proving it to you scripturally, proving it to you. If you do not understand it by now at this point in this message, then you go back and listen to this message again. And if you don't understand it by the time you come to the end of the message again, then go back and listen to it again. But they said, no, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. See, they fear the people. And they're evil, so they fear in any way. One thing I neglected to mention last week was the fearful people in the world, the wicked of the world, are the most fearful people on the planet. And rightly so. It's like I told you, if you're a law-abiding citizen and you have an encounter with a policeman, you need not fear. Only somebody who's breaking the law should have to fear. Understand what I'm telling you. Be as bold as a lion, just like Abraham was earlier in this message. Know who you are in Yahweh. Align yourself with him in thought, in deed, in heart, in spirit, and in mind, everything. The more in line you get, the more bold you can be. And I'm not talking about going on an ego trip bold. I'm talking about being as a soldier and being girt about with the truth, etc. So we found out that the devil's children are liars. We found out that they are murderers. We found out that they question Yahweh all the time. We found out that they are tempters I bet you didn't realize that. And they, of course, crossed the line like their father. They're deceivers as well. We also find that they are hypocrites. And they are haters of good. You see, they didn't like it when Yeshua healed some people. They got upset about that. While the true Israelites that were there rejoiced, like any normal human being would. Only the Jew is that demented, that would hate good. The Jew is the hater of the world, and the Jew teaches the other races to hate us. And next week, we will find out why the devil hates us, and why his children hate us so much. Next week, you shall find out. So, this is the absolute keystone to the whole message right here. Listen up, Judeo-Christian. You all know that the devil masquerades as an angel of light, don't you? You've read that many times, and you agree with that wholeheartedly, don't you? Well, here's the question I have for you. Yahweh gave me this yesterday, and I'm amazed by it. But this is a question to you. Now I'm going to question you. If the devil masquerades as an angel of light, then of course his children would masquerade as the children of light, or the true Israelites. Would you not agree with that? Let me read it again for you. If the devil masquerades as an angel of light, then of course his children, his literal offspring, would masquerade as the children of light. They're masquerading as the children of Yahweh. We are the sons of Yahweh and the daughters of Yahweh. They're masquerading that. They're telling you that they are the chosen ones. So answer me that, Judeo-Christian. If you believe the Father would do it, why wouldn't his children do it? You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.